Now, for somebody that is used to being in bed at 10 o'clock at night, and that's Eastern Standard Time, Atlantic Standard Time, and that happens to be 4 hours ahead of you and is up at 6 in the morning, I'm preaching in the middle of the night, so I assure you I'm not going to be long. However, I do want to thank everybody that has come. You've put in a long day and likely heard all the preaching that one could possibly take, but I guess this is the order here. We had a conference in Sussex last week, and we had a large number of young people come out to our house. Our youngest girl kind of set this up. We've just moved to another house and have a large garage and a large study, and there was 130 people there. I come to a conclusion that so many come because they heard there wasn't going to be any words spoken, and there was pizza, so they were all there. However, we will be brief and read a little and speak from the book of Daniel. I'd like to read from Daniel chapter 1. I'm sure it's a well-known passage. We can't guarantee a pizza here tonight, and you've got to put up with his word.
Tomorrow
night. Oh, tomorrow night. There you are. Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 3, and the king spake unto Asphanus, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the prince's children, in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. The king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourished them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now, among those that were of the children of Judah, Daniel, and Hananiah, and Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah the name Shadrach, and to Mishael the name Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and tender love of the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who had appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children of which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had sent over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, these 10 days, and let them give us a pulse to eat and water to drink, and then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, as thou seest deal with thy servants. Now just for a couple verses in John 21, we've already heard from this today. John chapter 21. John 21 and verse 1, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and of the sons of Zebedee, and 2 other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. I really have one word that'll kind of be a caption on all that I have to say in the few minutes that are before me tonight. It is the word influence. It's interesting, but it is something that all of us are affected by, yet nobody wants to admit to it. We all want to think that we're kind of cutting our own swath, making our own path, as the world says, doing their own thing, even though I don't like that expression. But really, we are not. We are living lives by influence. And I want to convince everyone here tonight that you are influencing somebody. More than that, you have been influenced by someone else. Influence. Now, in Daniel chapter 1, we have a man that influenced three for the good, three for a better life. In John 21, we have a man that influenced six for the worse, took them away. So I learned a principle just in that, that it is far easier for me to be the wrong kind of an influence to you than it is to influence you for the better. That there's something in human nature itself that will take and allow my influence to have negative impact upon you. We sometimes think, and unfortunately, we simply relegate influence to younger people. Older people are influenced. Sure we are. We all have influence. Even our visit here to the West Coast at this time, whether we like it or whether we don't, we have to face it. We're going to influence people. I trust that every heart that knows of God's grace, that you will search your heart tonight and ask yourself, just what kind of an influence am I being to others? The interesting thing is this, is that we usually don't know the people that we're influencing. We don't know them. I have to say to you that those that left a real influence on me, I would never admit that to them. And as you get older, people come to you and say, you know, you really influenced me. You had an effect upon me. It starts to scare you because you think, why, what, am I responsible for decisions that they made in their life? Well, ultimately, they were responsible. But however, they lived in the effect of influence. I want you to think just for a minute of this man, Daniel. And you've often heard the expression spoken upon that he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. He purposed in his heart. That's the place of affection. That's where Daniel made up his mind, was in the very things that he loved. And you know, when it comes to Christian experience and proper influence, that's where it'll come from. It'll come from the heart. But he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. In other words, here's a man that made up his mind that, as Joshua did, as for me and then my house. And so there has to be a confining, a limiting of it to the individual himself. Now, Daniel could have gone on with a real blame game. You know what that is? Sure it is. He could have said, listen, unfortunately, I am in circumstances that are beyond my control. I've been brought just as a young boy captive down into this land, and it really wasn't my doings that we're here. And could have gone through all kinds of reasons and tried to sidestep or excuse his present problems or his predicament, if I could use that word. But he doesn't do that. You know, that's very easy to do. It's easy for us to just draw back and say, well, you know, what's happening really around here isn't my doing. This happened long before I got... That might be. Do you know what I find in this man, Daniel? He's a man that makes the best of an awful situation. He's a young man that made up his mind that he was going to live for God. Have you made up your mind that way? Here was a man that got his eye and his sights above and beyond present circumstances and situations. Now, undoubtedly, he was influenced by those around him. But here's a man that simply dug in and made his mark in spite of a very negative influence that could have affected him. And the result of it? He would influence others. There was a tremendous pressure. Here was a man that was literally caught in a cauldron of seething disobedience and literally anarchy and everything that would be anti-God. In the midst of a climate, a land that was determined. Here's what they were determined. Babylon was determined. Number one, they were going to change his language. They were going to change his lifestyle. And they were going to change his learning. And that's where the world usually starts. It changes our language. We start picking up its language. We start talking its talk. And pretty soon we can converse almost at a level that they converse at. I trust that our language is that which becomes Christians tonight. That has tremendous influence. I'm sure that some of you younger people can very easily tonight attest to the truth that there have been people that have maybe come to you on occasions and asked some questions because they have said, you just don't talk like other people. Your language isn't like them. And I hope it never becomes like them, dear child of God. There's a difference. There's something that marks your tongue. And you notice that Babylon was determined to change their language. Now it wanted to change their lifestyle. In other words, you eat what we're going to eat. Come on, who'll see you? You're way down here in Babylon. Nobody will know what's happening. Nobody will really know what's taking place. My brother lives in the state of Iowa. I was in Las Vegas. That made me sound pretty bad. Last week, he called me in the middle of the week, and another aircraft dealer that he was sharing a room with in the Caesars Palace Hotel, where the National Business Aircraft Association were having a corporate meeting, said to him, "Listen, Tim, now look," he said, "I know you're a very religious man, but," he says, "you can't be in the airplane business without somehow gambling." He says, "You come on down. Nobody's going to know you're going to roll a little dice. Nobody will know. You just come on down," and he says, "I'll show you how you do it." No, he says, "I'm going to stay." No, he says, "Come on down." Well, he says, "At least come down," and he says, "I'll show you a winner." So he went down. And then 11 o'clock at night, and the boy was $400 ahead. Tim said, "Look, I'm going to bed. I'm staying here with this." He said, "I could hardly take the noise and the drum of the place." So Tim said, "I didn't even hear him come to bed. 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, come to bed." So I said, "The next morning, how'd it go?" He says, "He came up, had $10 left in his pocket." "Oh," he says, "so that's how you get ahead. That's how you really make it in this world. That's how," "I don't know." He says, "It was just a bad night. There'll always be a better one." That's the world's thinking. It doesn't work that way, dear child of God. We have influence. Babylon was not going to change his learning. It was not going to change their lifestyle. And more than that, it was not going to change their language. Just to touch a little on the countenance. I used to wonder what was the significance of that. What was the importance that they would look upon them and the countenance of these people? Well, after all, aren't we really told that it doesn't really matter what's on the outside? It's the inside that counts. It's the heart. So don't you let anybody kid you. Don't you let anybody fool you. Listen, you can't hide a disobedient life. You cannot camouflage doing what you know is wrong and going into things that you know right well are not becoming to a professed child of God. Daniel knew that. Daniel knew that he was going to wear what he was. Dear Christian, it has not changed. We will wear what we eat. We will literally wear what we feed upon. That's the principle that is found in Daniel chapter 1. You know, it's not Daniel sitting down with these three friends, Hebrew friends of his, and saying, "This is how you do it. This is how you become a good Christian. This is how you become a true Hebrew. He didn't do that. But you know what he did? He showed them without saying a word to them. I don't read of any conference gathering where he gathered these together and said, now, this is what we're going to do. Interesting that Babylon wanted 3 years. Daniel says, "Give us 10 days. In other words, 10 days and we'll prove to you just what we're up to. Not 3 years. Because in the process of time, Daniel was wise enough to know that they could very easily wear him down. The result of that? Well, you just turn a page in your Bible and there's three men now and there's no Daniel. What are they going to do? There's no friends standing watching. There's no eyes upon them. What are these three going to do? Are they going to bow to that image? Or are they going to risk being cast into the fiery furnace? We know what they did. They said to the king, "Listen, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter." That literally means that we don't have to get together and kind of decide what we're going to do. We've already made up our mind. We're not going to bow. You turn the page of your Bible again, and now it's Daniel all alone. No three friends with him. And how does he come? He comes forth from every crucible there was, every test that he had in flying colors, because he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. In other words, he would keep his life clean. Listen, dear young people, tonight in God's name, you go in for living for God, a life clean, purpose of heart, direction, goals that you will set before you, objectives that you have in Christian experience that with God's help that you would like to live out in your Christian experience, God will give you the grace to do it. I just want to touch in John chapter 21. I told these brethren I'll be done long before 10 o'clock, so I want to make sure I can keep to that. John chapter 21 is an interesting chapter. Here we have a man, Peter. And Peter was a leader. He was a born leader. He influenced people very easily. It's interesting who he influenced. He influenced six. Six of them. You know, if all of my life had to be spent to see one soul saved, is it worth it? Tell me, brother, is it worth it? To give your life for one soul, would you do that, young brother? Are you content with that? Dear young sister here, if you could give the whole of your life just to see one soul saved, sure you would. You don't understand the value of your own soul unless you would give yours to see another soul saved. I got another question for you. If you could live the whole of your Christian experience to rightly influence one believer in the things of God, would you do that? Sure you would. I haven't the time and I won't take to do it, but I could go page after page in this Bible and show you how men were rightly influenced. How a priest has a right influence upon a king. We're just reading about him the other morning. There's Jehoiada in our reading around the table at home. How a king would influence servants. And how that David and his behavior, 1 Kings chapter 18, the influence that he had. And on it goes, it's constant influence. The Apostle Paul always lived with that before him. He said, a conscience void of offense, of offending what? Of offending God and wrongly influencing others. Peter is the leader. When we turn in chapter 21, Peter's deciding to go fishing. And I'm not here tonight to beat up on Peter. I got better things to do on a Saturday night than that. But it is interesting to notice who was influenced. Unfortunately, the very one that knew what it was to lay in the bosom of the Lord Jesus, the one that knew intimate fellowship with him, is one of the ones that's influenced, that's taken away. Now that teaches me a very solemn lesson. That's the best, the strongest, the most promising, the ones with the most potential can be the ones that are led away. Without you dropping your eye to the Bible, who's number two man on the list that's going to be led away? This isn't any kind of a meeting. I can't ask this question. Usually don't ask for a show of hands. Do you know? Anybody tell me? Who's number two man here? You know what his name was? That's a hard day. Same as Thomas. Isn't it interesting in the chapter before, he hasn't got time to be in... doesn't have time to be with the Lord Jesus, to spend time. He's absent. We go through all those verses to learn a lesson that Thomas has to learn. But he hears about the fishing trip. And he's the first there. You know, I learned something from it. It's this. Sometimes when you can announce a ministry meeting, they can't come. But you say, hey, we're having a ball game tomorrow night. They're the first there. We got a picnic on. They're the first there. Now, I am not criticizing those things. You know what I'm looking at? Influence. Influence. How do you say, Thomas, amazing, you're here first going on the little fishing trip. Where were you yesterday? Where were you the night before when the Lord appeared? Where's all the murmuring? Everything was so negative in Thomas's life, but how come everything's so positive now? You know the conclusion of that? They caught nothing. Would you have expected them to? No, they won't. So, I trust that God will just bless this very brief word to your heart, all of our hearts. I hope it speaks to me. I never will cease to be an influence until I pull my last breath, nor will you, every one of us. You say, but you don't understand. I'm not an outgoing person. I'm very quiet. I'm very withdrawn. I'm not out in the public. I'm not a leader. You have missed the whole point of what I'm trying to speak on tonight. If you miss this, you influence people. God bless this word, shall we pray. Our Father, we bow at the close of this day. I thank you for so many people that have gathered in this hall tonight to hear the word of God. They could have gone to their homes or off to some restaurant or some other place than to come here and to give us their time and their attention to the word of God. Help, Lord, every one of us to realize we are living lives that will influence for the better or for the worse. We thank Thee, our Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ and the influence that He had upon those His own. And our Father, we thank Thee for the Word of God and the influence that we have one upon another. We pray then Thy blessing upon us. Now, Father, for the refreshment downstairs, we bow and give thanks to Thee for food prepared and our sisters that have prepared this. We give thanks for them and fellowship together. We thank Thee for every heart that's bowed here tonight that knows of Thy grace. And surely, our Father, if we realize the claims of Christ upon us, would we not want to live more like our Master and influence others in a right way, to be like Daniel that purposed in his heart? Lord, bless then the Word of God. Bless our day together. We thank Thee for such fellowship that we've enjoyed. Giving thanks in His name. Amen.